Welcome back to the Puckin' Pod, everybody. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
Gentlemen, we've been gone for, I don't know, what, 5 weeks?
5 weeks, I
something
think.
Like that. Good summer? Bad summer?
Good it's
summer?
Been, it's okay. been good, yeah. Busy. It's always busy, right? And it seems to fly by. The days of waiting for nice weather, you always have it, right? But then it's just like they slip away.
Yeah.
You come to the winter and the fall and you're like, oh, I can't wait for spring. Can't wait for summer. Going to go on road trips. Going to go check out this place. Going to go check out that place. And it's like Saturday comes up. What do you want to do? Well, chores, I guess. What do you want to do next Saturday? Oh, I got to work. What do you want to do the Saturday after that? I don't know. Probably more chores because we have a house and we're adults.
Yeah. I had every intention to take the kids to somewhere fun this summer, like Long Beach or something. I think we went to Parksville Beach once, and I took that same day, I took them to Coombs. We got to see the goats on the roof. For the most part, we stuck around in Nanaimo. There was some cool stuff that happened in Nanaimo this summer, though. We got to see the snowbirds. We've been, you know, to the waterfront, relaxing, you know, that kind of stuff, but we really didn't get out anywhere this summer. Maybe next year. We'll see. I say that every year, but you never know.
I got out golfing a bit. That was something that I did more this summer. It was mostly for work, though, but I was still able to get out and do it, which I've been wanting to do and haven't really been able to do the last couple of years. I just haven't really, well, I don't want to pay for it. Work does. I guess that's a big one.
Get paid for it instead. Yeah. No, honestly, it's one of my favorite pastimes, and I went once this year.
Yeah.
It's something I love to do. We ended up going to the same course that you went to, and had a blast, you know, but it's this year because of my grandfather passing away. It was our favorite pastime to do with him. And so we just sort of decided to do it in honor of him. And we're going to do that every year now. So it's something to look forward to every year. Nice. Yeah.
I played Cottonwood a second time and actually got worse.
I mean, honestly, yeah, it really depends on the day for me anyway. Like it's just like if I'll come in one day and I'll play amazing golf in my eyes, and then the next day I'll come back and it'll be just atrocious because something's going on with your body or your brain, period. You know?
I figured out on the 15th hole what I'd been doing wrong for 14 and a half holes.
Yeah.
And that was literally I was standing a little bit too far away from the ball. So when I was coming through with my swing, I was topping everything.
Yep.
And I could not figure out why. And then literally the last three holes, everything was just about perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
And honestly, that's really what it comes like. When you go to driving ranges or something like that, it's how you kind of figure out your little nuances with your swing.
Yeah.
And if you can figure that kind of thing out earlier on, specifically going to a driving range or something like that, it does help improve your game. You know, it really does.
Yeah. What about you, Paul?
A lot of work, obviously.
We know you got married. We talked about that before we finished the last season.
Yep. Just a lot of work. My wife and I went out to see her sister in Penticton for a few days.
Very cool.
So that was nice getting to meet that part of the family and, you know, just stuff with my son, trying to get him out as much as possible. He just started grade one, last week. So he's already
where did the time go?
Past a preschooler now. So.
Yeah, mine started grade two. It's like grade two. It's crazy. My daughter's in grade six. Like, you remember when she was a baby. Like, it's insane how fast time flies.
Way too fast.
Yeah.
So, like I said, kind of semi-eventful. My wife and I have kind of said the same thing. It's like, oh, we want to go somewhere. No, we're going to stay in tonight.
Exactly.
We got chores to do. We got things. Yeah. We got a bunch of new furniture for the place that we got for free just because of a situation that happened with somebody. And so we were, you know, did a little bit of reorganizing in the place. And, looking at changes down the road, possibly, you know, trying to find a place, another place to live here.
Cool.
Next of all, not that we have to leave the one that I'm in right now. We just want to find something a little bit bigger once we get our daughter here. So,
How hot was it in Penticton?
Very hot. It felt like it was in the 40s.
In the 40s. It wouldn't be surprising. Would not be surprising at all if it was in the 40s.
I remember Nashville last year in June when I went down for work, and it was 42 degrees Celsius, 97% humidity.
Yeah.
And it was the most uncomfortable I probably have ever been in my life. Like, I've been in saunas that felt better.
Yeah.
It was unreal. Unreal. Side note, Jays just won.
Hey, woo! Speaking of the Jays, I mean, they've had quite the summer this year, haven't they?
They have had quite the summer.
It's pretty exciting stuff. I think we'll probably have to look at getting into talking about baseball next podcast.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of hockey to talk about specifically after being away for so long.
Yep.
You know, it's what I would consider kind of a slower offseason, it feels like, anyway.
I would agree.
That being said, I think we're going to start seeing from here on out, like maybe not today specifically, but like here on out for the next, you know, however long, we're going to start seeing a lot bigger contracts be signed.
Oh, definitely.
With the cap going up, with, you know, players like McDavid coming up soon. You know, Quinn Hughes's contract is up next year too.
You're going to throw up when you see that contract, pal.
Yeah, it's going to be. I'm not going to throw up because I'm expecting it to be big. I'm expecting it to be $20 million. You know what I mean? Like, my mindset is there.
You got a guy like Kirill Kaprizov. He just turned down 8 years, $16 million AAV.
So what do you think that's about? What do you think that's about?
Like, it's got to be that he doesn't want to be in Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's not even McDavid money, and I don't know what.
I heard a rumor McDavid was going to garner at least, and I say at least, $16 million.
Well, I think that's the projection.
Yeah.
Based on the way the cap's going and the sequence of his contract so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I saw that the other day and I just went, are you kidding me? You turned down how much money a year? Like an NHL, an NHL record for the size of a contract and AAV, obviously. And he said, no guy.
What I'm starting to learn when it comes to the NHL is that the players themselves, and I mean, we're all everyday people where we look at, you know, $8 million and go, yes, please. But these guys, you know, they already have tons of money from playing that the contract, the actual dollar amount does not make that much sense to them. It doesn't make a difference to them. It's all about, you know, do I see a long-term fit in this specific location?
Yeah.
Do I have another location in mind that I want to play at?
Yeah.
In his case, maybe he wants to go play with, I don't know, Panarin or something, right?
Yeah.
You just never know what's going on in the player's mind. So it'll be really interesting to see what actually happens with that contract. There was a rumor today that he had approached the team about trading him. Now, that being said, I've heard that rumor is being debunked as well. So, you know, don't believe everything you hear, but you just never know with the way the NHL is. I mean, I didn't think I would ever hear the fact that he would turn down the contract he turned down. What was the contract, by the way, Paul?
8 years, I think $124 million or $128 million.
It literally worked out to be $16
million. Yeah, and it was going to be the biggest contract in the NHL, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I won't be surprised, you know, with the salary cap expected to go up every year for like the next 5 to 10 years, that on the next CBA they might switch over to a luxury tax system like what they have in the NBA and in the MLB right now, and you start seeing contracts in the 20s to 30s to 40s in the next 20 years.
But what new CBA though? Because they just agreed upon the new CBA.
Yeah,
that's true.
Not the current one because they have a hard cap in place, but
that starts in the 2026-2027 season.
And how long does that go for?
4 years? 4 years,
I think. I think most CBAs are 4 years.
Yeah. With the way that, again, revenues are expected to increase and salaries are expected to increase, like a hard cap's not going to work in the long term, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to wonder, again, if it's going to be like the other major franchises out there or major sports.
He's nodding at Major League Baseball on the TV over here, in case you guys are wondering. Now, just before we move on talking about sports, I just want to emphasize so the audience knows at home, we're trying something different with the pod this season. We're going to do kind of a locked on thing where all three of us are always on screen. It just makes my life a million times easier when it comes to editing. So in case you're wondering, why am I not seeing, you know, each one individually? This is why.
Well, now I can't pick my nose while Paul's doing his segment, though.
That's why I did it, because I'm sick of seeing you do it in the behind the camera.
So, I mean, it's pretty awesome. I think that we've now basically an official calendar year. We've been doing this podcast,
and
it's awesome to be back after a break. I think I needed a break, not because of the podcast, just because of the way life has gone.
Yeah.
So
see, we're on season four, and it's been
season
a year.
Four. Yeah, isn't that crazy? But at the same time, this is the most exciting time I think for a lot of us, because literally players are reporting.
Yeah.
Back now, and camp starts next week.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy when you think about it. I think this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, the Canucks are doing their kind of junior showcase with Seattle, which I'm really looking forward to. They're going to have some really good players at this, you know, call it a tournament, if you will. But it's more really like almost like a prospects camp or something.
Totally.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Are the Leafs doing anything like that? They usually do a summer showcase, right?
Yeah, I think there's like a development camp situation that they
rookie,
do. I know that there's
rookie camp right now, I think.
Yeah. Rookie camp. I know that they showed clips of practice today where Ben Danford, who's their top defensive prospect, was feeding one-timers to Easton Cowan, who's their top forward prospect.
Yeah.
Or top prospect, period.
Period, yeah.
And yeah, they were just feeding each other one-timers for an hour or whatever the hell it was. But
before we get into some of the like major happenings in the offseason, why don't we talk a little bit about the controversies that we experienced this offseason, specifically in hockey. Obviously with, you know, the biggest controversy, we're talking about the situation. Maybe you can discuss a little bit about the happenings there in terms of, we know that they were like acquitted of everything, but there was also a possibility the NHL would not let them back. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess Gary Bettman released a statement today, actually, today being Thursday, December 11th.
It's September 11th. You said December 11th.
September 11th.
Let's not get too close to Christmas, man. We need a few more months.
Stating that the players didn't meet their code of conduct, regardless of the what judge
what
the judge had said about them not being guilty for the SA case that was happening. The commissioner felt what they were doing was still not part of, you know, what the standard that they have for the NHL, and so he is allowing them to come back, but he said in a statement today that they have to face some consequences for not meeting the standard of what the NHL wants. So they are eligible to sign NHL contracts October 15th, so basically the start of the regular season or around the start of it, but cannot actually play until December 1st this year.
Yeah.
So have they all been released by their teams? Like, are they all free agents?
Because they actually, I believe the way it works is when they all had to kind of go to prison, or report to, you know, the police, specifically in Ontario. I think it was London, right? If I'm not mistaken, somewhere around there. Anyway, they had to report to a police. When that happened, they had to be released from their teams in order for that to happen. So from what I understand, like, for example, I think Carter Hart, his contract got terminated, didn't it?
Yeah, I believe he did. From what I read on the arc here, all four of them, besides Alex Formanton, are unrestricted.
Oh, Formanton still, Ottawa still has the rights to him?
They still have the rights to him. However, he's playing for the Swiss League right now
until he's allowed to play in the NHL.
Yeah, pretty much.
Makes sense. Yeah.
You wonder how that contract would work too, because he had to sign a contract to play over in the Swiss League.
Yeah.
And he just did that, I think, like
4 days
ago.
There was a clause that, when I was reading about it, that lets him out of his contract in December if he chooses to. Right. So
I've heard of that specifically in Europe. When they sign those contracts, there has to be an out clause just in case an NHL team comes calling.
Which makes sense for the players.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So expect the Edmonton Oilers to make a move here soon.
I know.
Carter Hart.
For all of them.
Yeah, for all five. That's true.
Yeah.
They already have
consistency throughout their
well,
they've lineup.
Already got a criminal GM, right? So, you know, goes to say.
It's funny, but, you know, I mean, I can think of a lot of fans who aren't, you know, Oilers fans who would agree 100%. But I'm sure Oilers fans are like, shut up, guys. But I mean, it's not, you know, as much as we know that the NHL is saying, you know, hold on. It doesn't mean that they're not allowed to play. It just means there has to be some sort of consequence to everything.
And I think owners and GMs around the league, you know, recognize when players have been kind of stupid like this. So these guys have to earn a lot of respect and probably their wages back.
Yeah.
They'll probably all have to sign minimum deals and might be signing those deals for a while until basically the slate's been wiped clean a little bit. Again, they weren't found guilty, but public eye there's still going to be people out there that think that they are guilty.
How many times, you know, you say that, but at the same time, how many times have we said, you know, there's no way this guy's going to get a contract, and then, you know, the Oilers come calling, and it's just like, what the hell are they thinking?
Fixing the Oilers again.
But it's true, though, right? I mean, I didn't think Evander Kane was going to join another team, and then Oilers came calling, and there he was, and now he's on the Canucks, and I'm like, thanks, guys.
There's good prisons in Van. It's all good.
Yeah, apparently. but, you know, it just baffles you sometimes when you look at it from the outside in. And I mean, teams will do anything to win. They'll do anything.
At this day and age, it's not the on-ice product that teams are worried about.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they're so skeptical. It's everything else. It's the media. It's it's the social media. It's it's the players and
the scrutiny.
The entitlement of the players, the public eye, there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that is what teams have to worry about now. That's why there's skepticism, right? And that's why you say probably they're going to have to sign minimum contracts and they're going to have to prove themselves, even though teams know that maybe teams are going to be chopping at the bit to get these guys because the talent level is there. You know that it is.
But and
it
they're comes still with young this, enough.
It comes with this baggage, right?
Yeah, that's right. Especially and they're now. Still young enough that the talent level will still bring them somewhere. They haven't, you know, peaked yet.
Yeah.
You know, I think of a player like Carter Hart, for example. He was a great goaltender and then this all happened and then he had to stop. But you know that the talent's there. He's going to be a good goaltender again. That's why I'm pretty sure Edmonton's going to come calling because Edmonton needs good goaltending. So they're going to go for somebody like him. It won't surprise me at all.
Not at all.
If I find out that he signed a contract with Edmonton.
But how much has his development stalled?
Because that's a good question.
These guys haven't been able to be on the ice.
2 years almost.
Yeah, that's a good question too. Yeah, absolutely.
Because especially for a goaltender.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think in the case of, say, I'm picking on Edmonton, you're right, but in this case, they are a team that needs goaltending. For them to have the ability to sign him, they would need to probably sign him to a small contract and then probably send him to the AHL to get developed at least for a year and kind of figure that out from there.
It's going
to
be...
So, we'll see.
I think with the eligibility to play in December 1st, that they're not actually eligible to play in the playoffs this year because of that.
Because of that,
I'm pretty sure.
I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure,
wait a sec. Yeah, you're right. If it's after December 1st, I think you're right.
After, November 30th, starting December 1st.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, that's true.
I wonder if it's done on purpose.
I think totally it is. I think you're right.
I think it was.
I think it was. And I mean, really, it's another way to punish them for what they did, right?
Yeah.
Or what they were on trial for.
I could just see him making the phone call to the lawyers or the agents. You're going to want to hear this.
My God. I know. It's crazy. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about our team specifically, all right? So
let's do that.
Let's start with your guys' team, the Leafs. Lots of stuff happened this offseason, including a transaction between our teams. So let's talk a little bit about that.
I am pumped for that, for sure. I don't think he's going to contribute as much offensively as majority of Leaf fans probably want him to expect.
I would agree with you on that, and I think also like the other part of it is if it were to happen to any other team, they would feel the same way, right? Like, the guy you trade for, you want him to be a star. And it's just like, you want him to be a 50-goal scorer. Obviously, he's not going to be. No. But you know, the one thing I will say specifically, and for those of you at home who are wondering who the hell we're talking about, Dakota Joshua traded from Vancouver to Toronto Maple Leafs. Dakota Joshua is an all-around player. You're going to see him do things that are really beneficial, specifically on the third and fourth line. He may even get moved up to the second line, depending on, you know, how it works out. He is definitely a Berube type player.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you're really going to like what
he brings. That's why I think I'm excited.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
You have to look at the move, the way that Trelleavy made this move. It's, with the cap going up, you're going to see, obviously, because people, a lot of the players want, especially the big name players too, want percentages of the cap. They don't necessarily want a specific number. They're looking for a percentage of what they are for the cap for the team. Making a move like this, you know, gives Brad basically control of, for at least, I think it's 3 years still left on his deal.
Yes.
At 3.25 or 3.5, I think it was.
Yeah.
Where players that are very similar to Joshua are probably going to demand twice the money on the open market. So giving up, I believe it was a fifth round pick for him or fourth round. I think it was a fourth round pick. Fourth round pick, which, you know, hard to say whether a fourth round pick will ever make the NHL, but cost control, which will help with if McDavid becomes a free agent next summer, you can go after players like McDavid because of that.
I also think that Vancouver made the trade specifically both for cap reasons, but also I think to help somebody like Joshua. Because he's from the Toronto area. It's the first place he was drafted and didn't really get a chance to like showcase his talents there. So this is going to be something that's going to be beneficial for him, you know. And he gets to stay in a Canadian market too, which is another bonus.
I think what might slightly be underlooked too, excuse me, is the fact that he didn't get a chance to roll from the beginning of the season last year.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Coming off the surgery and rehab from that. And worrying about his health and whether or not he's going to be cancer-free and ready to go and play again anyway. This year, he's, from what I understand, fully healthy, going to come into training camp, going to have a full training camp to play. He's going to be given every opportunity.
Yep.
And because of that reason that he is a Berube player, I think it's going to be the same with, and I've heard this pronunciation and I can't get behind it, Nicolas Waugh. Apparently. I'm just going to say Nick Waugh.
It's
Nick just because Nicola doesn't really make sense to me anyway.
The old
but it's adage. It's the same thing. Because they're similar type of player, I mean, Joshua, I think, is a little harder nose than Waugh is.
Yeah.
But especially coming into a new organization, Berube is going to want to see what these guys can do in his style.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think they're going to get tons of playing time, and they're going to get the ability to try different combinations and see what's going to happen. But that and that's just one example of a player that that I'm excited for out of the three or four additions that they did make.
Yeah.
What do you think, Paul? Have you been excited about anything coming in or going out for that matter so far?
It's hard to say. Like they have way too many players. I think we talked about this on the last podcast that they have like 15 forwards. So. It's good to have. It's a good
problem to have.
Problem to have, exactly. To have, you know, different pieces that you can pull from to put the team together. However, it almost, even though they're not a cap strapped team, it almost feels like they're a cap strapped team because of some of the contracts that are there that are fringe to make their roster. I know that they've been trying to make a bunch of moves this offseason. You know, there's been talks about Brian Rust. There's been talks about trying to just trade Kampf and Yarnkark outright so they can sign guys like Roslovic and stuff like that.
Roslovic, who's still unsigned, by the way.
And seems
probably
fishy because
a reason for it.
Yeah. Vancouver apparently has offered him a second line role if he'll sign with them.
Well, they haven't offered him anything. The big thing with Vancouver is ultimately the fact that I think he's commanding too much cap-wise. That's my understanding. I don't know for sure, but I also don't think he's the guy that they want to put in that position.
I don't think the Leafs want him either.
Yeah, like I don't know necessarily that he's the answer to the problem.
Well, but there's been lots of talk too because Roslovic played with Matthews on the U.S. development team, and they've talked about wanting to play together still.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's something that I'm sure if they had the room, they would. You're going to see quite a few players on the waiver line. It'd be suck to lose a guy like Nick Robertson if he can't make the team. But that's the problem. Like, when you have so much depth like this, your young guys, like Easton Cowan, who should probably make the team, probably won't make the team because of all the one-way contracts.
There's no room
for
him. There's no room.
Yeah.
So it's... I liked the moves, but at the same time, I think they have too much.
Yeah, I hear you. It's tough to sort of gauge what they're trying to do in terms of building a better team. I mean, it's not like they're not building a better team, but just it's tough to gauge the direction they're going.
Yeah.
You know, with all the players that they have.
Yeah.
I guess you'll find out eventually when they start, you know, either trading away players or moving them to you know, finalize a roster. But
well, you're going to have players that are unhappy if you've got four guys sitting in the press box every night. Four forwards, by the way, sitting in the press box every night.
Well, they still got guys, again, defensively. They have Philip Myers and Henrik Thrun who need to go through waivers. If they want to keep them.
Yeah.
So, and
maybe that's something they're thinking. They're like, well, you know, we can afford to lose players on waivers because we have so many players and so many good players that, you know, maybe it's not that big of a deal.
And I don't have any examples off the top of my head. It would probably take me 2 minutes to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But the Leafs, the last few years have also been quite famous for bringing in PTOs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or signing PTOs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some teams already have PTO signed, which is kind of astonishing.
Yeah.
But I guess it's September. You know what I mean? Like, you forget how quickly the summer goes. But yeah.
Come on, Kyle Dubas, just take one of those contracts. I'll be happy. I'll be happy.
So come on, Kyle Dubas, just trade away Sidney Crosby.
Let's address Mitchell Marner. Yeah.
Yes, I was going to ask you if you were going to address the elephant in the room, so to speak.
So I think I've prepared myself to move on from the player. All I can think about now is what it's going to mean for him moving forward in Toronto fans' eyes and the Toronto media, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have any thoughts on him leaving specifically? Like, obviously, you can't replace that player.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the Leafs have tried to do it a little bit by committee and are going to do it by committee.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, with the stature that Mitch Marner has proven to be in the league, an elite penalty killer, an elite winger, high hockey IQ, his vision, his passing, his edge work, his skating's fantastic. He doesn't hit anything, but I mean, you know, he's so shifty that he doesn't get hit either.
Yeah.
So like a player of that caliber, 100-point player, just about annually, close to 100-point player every year.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come by every day, right? To use the cliche, they don't grow on trees. But do you think, is it more of a positive or a negative impact with him leaving based on the way the roster has been constructed this offseason?
I think in the fans' eyes, he hasn't endeared himself to the fans. I think in part, a lot of that has to do with the fact that he didn't really take a lot of accountability for why the fan base kind of turned on him over the years. He recognized, you know, in interviews you can see that, you know, we could have done this better, we could have done that better, yada, 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 but never really took anything upon himself. Even like if you look at past interviews and then you look at the interviews that he took this offseason, he had good reasons for leaving, you know, personal safety. There are some, unfortunately, crazy people out there that will do things like throw trash on your lawn and harass you nonstop, where he has to have security. So he left, he said, for personal reasons. But not taking any accountability for why people would turn on him, again, not those fans, but just fans in general, I think has tarnished him a bit. I think he very much has a place on Legends Row with them. However, having not brought a championship, having barely won, and the public figure thing is going to make a difference. Like all the guys that you see in Toronto's kind of like Walk of Fame were players that they loved because it wasn't just the way they played, it's who they were as people. And again, Mitch Marner is not a bad person, but he wasn't somebody that really bled the Leafs, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, he worked as hard as he could, and he's not getting a payoff for it, so he's going somewhere else for the payoff. Mm.
Yeah, his perception in the fans' eyes has been tainted for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think will be affected most by him leaving?
Well, there was a lot of reports about, I guess, his call with Matthews was the hardest one. He wanted to see Matthews in person. I guess they just missed each other and they couldn't, so they had to do a phone call, and apparently it was really hard. So I wouldn't be surprised it's affected Matthews the most, just because, again, they were, you know, thunder and lightning together, kind of, right, in terms of how they played.
We was like peas and carrots.
Peas and carrots. So I wouldn't be surprised that he's going to be affected, but I think the morale of the team is going to change too, because Mitch seemed to put again, a lot of blame on everyone else. You saw the highlight of him during the Florida series where he was telling everyone to F the wake up,
wake the F up.
And again, he's making all these mistakes during that game.
Yeah.
So it's really, I think the dressing room is probably going to be a little bit more relaxed, I think, actually.
Yeah, I wonder. It'll be interesting to see. This will be a really interesting season for the Leafs.
Do you think that Matthews' production will drop at all with not having Marner on his wing?
No. Again, you got a guy that's two guys that are actually are similar to Marner in terms of playmaking ability. That's Matias Michelli, who they acquired in the offseason, and Max Domi has played with him in the past, and they have been good together. Matthews' 69-goal season was playing with Tyler Bertuzzi and Max
69
Domi.
Point season?
Oh, 69 Matthews. Goals.
Matthews, sorry. I was thinking Domi.
Domi, yeah.
When you said that, I was like, Domi had 69 goals?
I'm not even sure in his career.
I was going to say.
But yeah, Matthews had 69 goals, and he was playing primarily with Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi that season.
So. Now Bertuzzi's moved on. He's playing in, like,
I don't know where it was.
Chicago.
That's right. I was going to say Detroit, but I knew it was a team with red jersey.
That was my leading question that I was talking about before we started. And the reason I say that is because I actually was listening to another podcast today that brought up some really cool points. Mm. And I was going to share a few numbers with you guys I think are kind of interesting.
Okay.
Matthews, as you mentioned, until the last two seasons, Matthews didn't even really play with Marner that much.
Yeah.
Marner was primarily with Tavares on his wing, especially the first, I think it was two or three seasons.
Probably three, I think.
I think three, yeah, totally. So, anyway, that I don't think that's going to be necessarily a thing, but at five on five, Marner has assisted on 1.31 goals per 60. On Matthews' goals. That's Marner.
That's interesting.
William Nylander at five on five has assisted on 1.54 goals per 60 minutes.
Okay.
At 5-on-5, Max Domi has assisted on 2.72 goals per 60.
So that tells me Matthews' line mates are going to be Nylander and Domi.
the rhetoric that I'm hearing, and it's one of the reasons I wanted to ask a sort of rhetorical question about that, was the discourse is that Matthews is going to have a drop-off. And a lot of that, I think, probably is because of the season he had last year with his injuries.
Right.
Yep.
He's put on some weight this year that apparently he felt that he was too lean last year and getting bumped around too much, and it contributed to his injuries. So he's put on a bit of weight. I don't know what it was, probably 10 or 12 pounds, I would assume, that he thinks will help. But I thought this was kind of a cool comparison. Not that he's not in his prime still, necessarily, but Alex Ovechkin, who was his primary feeder all those years.
Yeah, Nicholas Backstrom.
Nick Backstrom. Yeah. Has Nick Backstrom been around the last two or three seasons? Well, Ovechkin looks pretty good to me. You know, just as a thought process.
To be fair, Ovechkin has had some motivation to be that player. I'm not saying that that's the only reason, but I mean, it could be argued that that's the reason that, you know, he's got this motivation to pass Gretzky's point record, and we'll see what this season looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing him, though, he'll probably do his best to try and just destroy that record so that he has sort of a permanent spot in the record books.
Yeah.
We'll see.
One last point I wanted to make on the Marner situation, because I know you mentioned like he was worried about his personal security and stuff like that. What I did hear reports on this last week, and Steve Dangle came out and reported that he actually was getting threats from Marner's security team in the playoffs. I think it was three seasons ago, and basically telling Steve he didn't know what he was talking about and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and
I remember seeing that.
So I saw that. And the other thing was Trey Living came out after Marner's interview that was aired. And Trilling was like, we make sure all of our players are protected. So kind of hinting like, not sure what the hell he's talking about. So it makes it's like it's kind of throwing shade around everywhere. And it makes you think like, is Marner lying? Is Trilling lying? What? Like, what's going on? Right?
I think he's got a lot of people talking in his ear. Like his agent, Dan Ferris, like doubled down on what Mitch Marner was saying, too. And again, not taking much accountability in regards to, again, himself as a player for the team and being a part of the team, kind of it's Mitch Marner show almost. Like he never said it, and maybe his actions wouldn't necessarily say it, but you can kind of see the way things kind of unfolded this offseason that it was very much that case, and he wants more, I guess, center spotlight maybe in Vegas, but without, you know, the diehard fan base. And I don't know, maybe Vegas is a lot more die hard than he thinks. He'll find out obviously when he gets there.
I think for him really, it's so funny, they always use the excuse that, you know, they want the anonymity, they want to be anonymous. And they want to be anonymous, but like the problem is they go to a place like Vegas and they think this will be perfect for that, right? And then they realize that a lot of Canadians go there and people who watch hockey go there. So they're you know, maybe that's a bonus for him too. Like maybe he doesn't fully want that, but I think a lot of times too, like, you know, we argue about, you know, the rumor that players don't want to play in Canada. I do not believe that for a second. I do not believe that. I think players want to play where they are appreciated. And you know that in a Canadian market, you'll be appreciated, especially if you win.
Especially if you perform.
You know, when your team is not winning, you're not going to be appreciated. You'll be ragged on. So start winning if you don't like it.
Dakota Joshua drops the gloves in the first game, and he'll be the fan favorite the rest of the year.
Rest of the year.
Just letting, you know, as an example.
Or a big check or something. Exactly, yeah.
Do we have a minute to go through what our projected line combinations maybe?
Yeah.
Is that all right, Joe? We have time?
Please, yeah.
You want to go first?
Yeah, might as well.
Curious of ours, how close they are.
So my thoughts were obviously kind of what we just first were talking about. I believe Domi's going to play with Matthews and Knies. Knies is actually, I think, going to be on the right because he has played right off of the power play. So I believe that he can actually transition to the right and still do a good job. I believe Michelli, Tavares, and Nylander are going to be on the second line together. My thoughts are Joshua over Lawton, even though I think Lawton has more skill, I think, than Joshua does. But I think Joshua, Roy, and either McMahon or Robertson, I think you're going to see players siphon in and out. And I think Robertson and McMahon are going to siphon in and out a bunch with those line combinations. And then my bottom line, surprisingly enough, doesn't have Lawton at center because he wasn't actually, when he was in Philadelphia, he wasn't really focused on being a center. He has center capability. I actually won't be surprised to see Lawton, Kampf, and Lorenz on that line.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I am very, very close. Very, very close. My fourth line is the only one that's different. I do have McMahon, Waugh, and Joshua on the third line, and I think that's going to be the line until McMahon doesn't perform.
I'll tell you what, just from my experience with Joshua, I think third line minutes is exactly where he strives.
Yeah.
I find when he plays second line minutes, it gets a little tough for him. And I think it's the speed more than anything. He's perfectly fine in terms of his speed, but I just feel like with the amount of minutes he gets on the third line, he'll thrive.
Is he a penalty killer? That means
yes, I think so.
I think he is.
I think
we talked about that.
Yeah, okay. I think he is. Okay. I mean, you're going to want your bigger bodies anyways to kill penalties, so I can't see why that wouldn't hurt why wouldn't help your team. I mean,
my fourth line, I have Lawton centering Lorenz and Yarnkroak. Yeah, I think Yarnkroak's going to be a stable winger on the fourth line on the right if he doesn't get traded. I think his game picked up in the playoffs last year after an injury-riddled season again. But it's tough because you're right, David Kampf is there and he is a great center.
Well, and he's got a no-movement clause, so he can't be sent down to the
line. He can't be sent down. No, I know. Yeah. He's going to be in the press box or he's on the... Or he has to agree to a trade.
Yeah.
But I mean, he is a better center as far as penalty killing, defensive ability, and faceoffs go. He's probably one of the best centermen that they have, to be honest with you. I mean, I haven't seen Y yet play. I didn't really watch him much in Vegas. I've heard he's pretty damn good, though.
He's got scoring touch.
Same idea, as long with the defensive and penalty killing side, too. Absolutely. And he's a big body. So, yeah, other than that, I think our lines kind of match up exactly the same. Defense, I think, is going to change a lot throughout the year. I'm not even going to list mine. If you've got him, go ahead. But
I think McCabe and Tanev are going to stay a staple. I can't see them being split up.
I agree.
Riley and Carlo too. I think they're a staple at this point.
I was impressed with Carlo actually.
He's the reach rate. Like he's 6'6". He is Chara light is maybe the best way to put it. So
it's not as mean.
Yeah, not as mean. I think you have a bit of a...
I don't know. I hate to insult the man, but anytime I hear Chara, I just think Andre the Giant and Princess Diaries or Princess Bride. I mean,
anybody want a peanut?
That's how I think of him. Anyway, back to your thing.
And then you'll probably see siphoning through a Benoit, Thrun, Ekman, Larson, and Myers. Now, I guess the way that the lines that I have constructed here, like technically you have 24 players and what I have kind of set up in my lines here. So if you're going to send somebody down, you're going to lose either a Yarnkroak, a Lorenz, a Thrun, or probably a Philip
Myers. My suggestion is lose the oldest guy.
Yeah, of course. Or trade a guy like Nick Robinson if his value is high enough to get like a second for him.
My question about that is why haven't they done that already? Maybe they've been trying to, who knows? But who do you have as a starting goaltender?
Stolarz.
Yeah, I have Stolarz
too. Love Wally, but yeah, stole the show last year.
It's also he was the most consistent.
It's also a prove it year for him too.
Yeah.
Because he's an unrestricted free agent. They're trying to re-sign him.
Now they're talking about they're talking about the value of his contract. Do you pay him more than $5 million a year? Because there's a lot of people that are like five and a half pushing it.
Well, it's for me it's the injury status.
Yeah.
He's injury prone for sure. So yeah. I don't know.
Hard to say.
Well, gentlemen, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to start talking about my team.
We would love that.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the transactions that happened. We already discussed Dakota Joshua going to Toronto in exchange for a fourth-round pick. 2028 fourth-round pick, mind you. So it'll be a while before you have to sort of feel the pain of that pick going anywhere. They did acquire Chase Stillman and a 2027 fourth round pick from Pittsburgh in exchange for Arthur Seelovs, which was, you know, sad to see him go, but we did kind of know that was going to happen with all the goaltending depth and everything they got going on. Kind of made sense that they would kind of move on from Seelovs. And you know what? Seelovs is going to be a really great goalie for Pittsburgh. So yeah, he will see the NHL in my eyes. Absolutely. They acquired Evander Kane from the Edmonton Oilers for a 2025 fourth round pick. So that was this season. And they also signed Derek Forbort to a 1 year contract, 1 year extension. Finally, this goes back to May, but finally they signed Tom Vilander to a 3 year entry level contract. I'm thinking Vilander probably will end up playing in the Sorry, guys, I'm burping. I do think that Vilander will find a way in the AHL this year. I don't think he'll be on the NHL. He might play a game or two, but I think for like the most contract will be on the AHL team this year specifically. Then what else did we do? Oh, I see. It goes. As I'm scrolling down, it actually. That's pretty much it, actually, in terms of the summer stuff that they did.
There wasn't a lot going on.
Not a lot of crazy moves. Yeah. The biggest thing, I was actually kind of surprised that they went after Evander Kane. To be honest with you,
yeah.
I get it on a team sense thing. They're looking for some grit, and Kane's contract isn't so crazy that it's going to hurt them long term. It's a 1 year contract.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, they could trade him. You know, and there are teams that would take him.
How long after they traded for Kane did they trade away Joshua? I don't remember. Do you recall?
Joshua was traded on July 17th.
Yeah.
And Kane was picked up on June 25th.
Okay, so about a month later. I was going to say, I wonder if they had plans that they were kind of trying to move on from Joshua and needed to replace a bit of his physicality.
Yeah, the benefit between him and Kane is that Kane plays higher up in the lineup, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
You've got a player who can kind of not defend, but at least, you know, help protect a player like Pettersson. When we talk about line combinations, I don't necessarily think he's going to play on Pettersson's line. He may bounce between the first and second line, but right now the projections are looking like Pettersson's going to be the first line center.
Yeah.
And then Hedel will probably be the second line center. I'm not a huge fan of that. I don't like it. I think Hedel's actually a winger. He should play on the wing. Yeah. Unfortunately, from what I've been told, based on all the articles out there, like I don't know them personally, but what I'm hearing is that it's been a challenge to try and acquire a second line center. I think Vancouver's not the only team that's trying to do this.
Yeah.
So you know the cost is high when it comes down to it. So we have to rely on players like Atu Ratu coming into this season. Definitely going to play for Vancouver. He's not going to play in Abbotsford. He's going to be their best centerman based on faceoffs, in my opinion.
Yep.
Pettersson's actually decent on faceoffs if you watch him. So maybe he'll kind of bounce his way up to the second line and Hedel will go down to the third line, or Hedel will play on the wing and they do eventually acquire somebody. We'll see. But, you know, they did not sign Pugh Suter this offseason. So with him going off to St. Louis, it looks like, you know, face-offs will be a challenge for Vancouver. However, you know, with all that negativity, I think one thing that Vancouver does have this season coming up that's going to help them a lot is defense. So on the sort of defensive end of the puck, you've got, you know, you still got Quinn Hughes and Filip Hronek. You've got Marcus Pettersson, Tyler Myers, Derek Forbort, and then Elias Pettersson. It says Nils because that's his middle name, apparently. Elias Pettersson, the defenseman, he actually impressed me a lot this last season. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And then you've also got Tom Olander on the side who can jump into the lineup as well. And then Victor Mancini. I'm saying that right, aren't I?
Yeah, it's Mancini.
Mancini. Yep. I was thinking it was the guy you were just talking about on the Leafs, right? The Italian boys.
Michele.
Anyways, I think they've got a lot of depth on defense right now, which is a huge bonus for them, right? It's something they struggled with back when the Sedins were on the team. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of cool to say that Adam, we've actually got defensive depth.
Adam Foote's going to want a good defensive
core. 100%. 100%.
Yeah. I'm not.
And actually, that's the other side of it, too. Sorry to interrupt, Brando. That's the other side of it is the coaching staff has changed, too.
Yeah.
With Tockett going off to Philly, you know, Adam Foote's going to run this team. It's a benefit. He was a huge benefit for players like Quinn Hughes and the rest of the defense being a defensive coach. It's going to be interesting to see what everybody else does, what they bring to the table, especially when I think of special teams.
Yeah.
Because that's where they struggled the most the last couple of seasons, really.
I saw Marcus Pettersson. I mean, I saw Elias too, but Marcus Pettersson I saw live in February. I think it was his second game with the team.
Yeah.
And I was pretty impressed with him. Like, I never really paid attention to the player before, but I like that.
One thing I think that he really, really brings to the team as a bonus is the way he sees the ice.
Yeah.
He passes really well. He gets in the right places defensively as well. Like he can go after the puck, which is an important skill to have as a defenseman. And I think if you can use your stick to your advantage without taking a penalty, that's awesome.
Yeah. I got tickets again for Mom and I. We're going to go see them play St. Louis.
Nice. That'll be fun.
In March.
That'll be awesome.
And it's a Saturday night too.
Is that around her birthday as well?
Actually kind of. Her birthday is the end of February. So.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
She's going to love that. It's gonna have to be a regular thing for you guys, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, the seats are great. The price is right. I have a good hookup.
Seats, another off-season thing the Canucks have done, they put new seats in the building.
New seats. In the upper level?
Everywhere. All like, over the
is
building.
Is there some space?
I don't know about that. I do know that the seats are more comfortable, and they're black seats to match the whole black, you know, black jersey, black skate jersey that they've been doing.
Smart.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to go to a game. I just don't know if I'm ever going to get to, but I really, really want to. The way things are costing these days, it's just so tough, man. I'm really looking forward to what this team will look like in a couple of years. You know, with the player they drafted this year, Braden Coutts, he is a centerman who has so much promise when it comes to kind of his two-way game. It almost reminds me of Bo Horvat. I'm not comparing him, but it reminds me of it based on the kind of expectations. They're like, he's not going to be a high-flying goal scorer. He's going to be able to get that puck for you, though, and he'll be able to make those passes. He'll be able to win those draws.
Yep.
And he's got leadership capabilities, and that's really what you want on your team is you want guys who can literally lead the team. And, I mean, he's the captain of his team right now. He's the youngest player on his team, and he's the captain. You know what I mean? Like, it's incredible when you think about it.
And those types of players, like, you want your captain to be the hardest working guy on the
100%.
ice. 100%. I actually don't think we have that in Leafland, if I'm being honest. But
we do have that in Vancouver with Quinn Hughes. He is the hardest working. I mean, the guy, like, we joke about the contract that he's going to sign, you know, next year. But I look at it like the guy's worth at least twice what he's making now, which is, you know, 7.7 or something like that.
7.85.
Yeah. So, we're looking at $15 million. I think he's worth it. If you have to pay him 16, great. Yeah. I think he's worth it.
There's quite a crunch when you think about the top defenseman in the league, but he's arguably anywhere between 1 and 3.
100%.
Oh, so
very easily. I'm going to have two gripes with the Canucks this season.
One, this offseason in general?
Well, the offseason, but coming into the season.
Okay.
I know you won't like it. I don't think they're a playoff team still. And part of that is the center depth is really going to hurt them.
Well, I don't disagree with you there. I really think that the center depth, they're going to have to address it. Like,
yeah, well,
they're
they,
going to
they
have to.
Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, Hedl is good, but in my opinion, not much more than a third line center or a second line winger.
I think he's a winger for sure.
Yeah. The other one is the poor announcer having to go through all those Pettersons this season. It's going to be
Al Murdoch, by the way, just as an announcer myself, and Brandon, you might be able to respect this as well, but Al Murdoch, in my opinion, is the best ring announcer.
He's very good. Announcer in very, the very NHL. Good.
Yeah, he's incredible. And he you know, I don't know if he's the guy the NHL calls for all their nice events that they put on, whether yeah. it's the Winter Classic or, you know, whatever special. Even did I think he even did Four Nations, if I'm not mistaken. He's the guy they call because of his voice. He's incredible.
I'm just imagining him like Pettersson to Pettersson to Pettersson. Yeah.
Or you're talking about their play-by-play guy. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, yes. John Shorthouse.
Goal scored by Pettersson, assisted by Pettersson.
So what he does, and you know what? He's probably used to it, to be honest, because you had two Sedins on the team,
that
remember?
That is true.
And it was always Daniel to Henrik to Daniel,
and
right?
And Mats was on the team at one point,
that's
too.
Right.
So Mats Sundin.
Yeah,
close.
Yeah, so... I'm sure he's used to it, but yeah, it's very interesting to see somebody when they drafted Elias Pettersson, the defenseman. I remember thinking this has to be a joke, right?
Yeah.
And it was really hilarious. Is you know that Spider-Man meme where there's like three Spider-Men pointing at each other?
I've seen that.
Elias Pettersson posted that on his social media when they drafted Elias Pettersson. It was really funny. So yeah, just kind of funny thing about it. But I mean, I will say Elias Pettersson, the defenseman, is pretty good when you compare, you know, what people were expecting of him. I think he's definitely, specifically last year, he definitely outplayed what people thought he was going to be like. So I'm definitely happy with the team. I think it's really, like you say, like we can have as many predictions as we want. I do think they're a playoff team because they only missed the playoffs last year by a few points. It was like 6 points or something like that. I do think they're a playoff team because I think they have the... I think they have the defensive prowess to stop more pucks from going in their net, but I also think they have offensive ability to as well score more goals. And when you've got a player like Quinn Hughes, who's an offensive defenseman, anything can happen. And then, you know, again, new coaching staff, you never know. They're going to try some new tricks. We'll see what happens.
I had them in my predictions to make the playoffs, but just barely. I think it's
going to really
be a tight
race. I really
do think
we need to... maybe come back in a couple of episodes and do like maybe just before the season starts or something. We'll do a prediction of who we think will make it, maybe top three teams who will make the playoffs.
I do want to quickly talk about the Calgary Flames. Just small. They didn't really do a whole lot this offseason.
Yeah, they were fairly quiet, weren't they?
They did a lot of resigning, and I think they're trying to build off of some of the momentum they had last year because they missed the playoffs by 1 point.
1 point, yeah.
And literally it was an overtime thing, I think it was, when it came down to that. So
that's right.
You know, they signed, what's his name, Hanley? Curtis Hanley?
Isn't it Jacob Hanley? Or?
Yeah, I think you're right. Jacob Hanley. They signed a KHL goalie in Ivan Prosvitov, who could potentially be the backup goalie. But a lot of their signings were just re-signing, you know, Dustin Wolf to the 7.5.
Yeah, which we were talking about that. And so seven years, what's the contract? 7 years?
7.5.
Yeah.
So great cap in my opinion. I think he's a good enough goalie that he's going to make. He's going to definitely play that worth. However, the thing that throws me off is why not take him for that eighth year?
Yeah, and I think it probably has to do with him having more control about where he wants to go after the contract's done.
It's just I find it baffling considering the fact maybe Calgary pushed for the eighth year and he didn't want it.
He didn't want it
because like it blew my mind when I think about the fact that next year with the new CBA kicking in, they're only going to be allowed to sign 7 year contracts. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Also, re-signed Matt Coronato, 6.5 a year. Kevin Ball, who had a really good year from six year 5.5, and re-signed Morgan Frost to a 2 year 4.375. So they re-upped, and sorry, Martin Pospisil as well.
Oh yeah,
3 year.
Yeah. So they kept a lot of guys.
They kept a lot of guys, and I think they're just building off the momentum. Hopefully, it's better momentum than what they had last year that they made the playoffs. But we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what their season looks like compared to last year. It really felt to me like they might be, and this is before all these signings, but it felt to me like maybe they would be kind of almost rebuilding. I got that feeling, but then they're doing all these re-signings and I'm like, okay, clearly that's not happening. Yeah. They're definitely trying to do something, but they're trying to do it almost, you know, with pennies on the dollar kind of thing, you know, which I'm sure every team's trying to do that, but it just feels... It's confusing in a way, I think, just because I'm on the outside looking in.
Well, and I guess with the cap space that they have, if they're doing bad, they can fire sell again Rasmus Anderson and stuff like that. If they're doing good, they have enough cap space to bring a big contract.
That's
in
right
too.
So yeah, that's right.
You know, that will work in their favor or against them. I guess we'll see when the season gets going.
That's right. Yeah, it's definitely been a really interesting offseason, and I feel like you know, there's so many more moves that can be done.
And there will be too.
There will be. I mean, especially PTOs, right? We're looking at there's a lot of opportunity for tryouts where, you know, maybe Vancouver signs a PTO on a guy who just ends up being the second line center they need all of a sudden, or maybe he becomes the third line center and they make a move to free up some cap to sign the player they might be, you know, going after. I mean, there's so many rumors right now when it comes to Vancouver that they're going after, you know, what's the guy's name in Anaheim?
McTavish.
McTavish, thank you. Yeah. McTavish, or the guy in Minnesota, or Kaprizov, you know, not Kaprizov, no. The other guy,
Rossi,
yeah, Mike Rossi. It's interesting, all these rumors, and then of course it never happens, and then you're like, well, what's going on? And it's because, you know, they're asking too much or something like that. It's definitely strange to see.
All these rumors are just clickbait. it's just to get revenue in for the teams.
Yeah, 100%. That's true.
Milan Lucic signing a PTO in St. Louis, eh? Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I think we're going to have to wrap it up. What do you guys think? Pretty good show coming back.
Season
number 4.
Ah, been looking forward to it.
I hope you guys had a good time. I know I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, always do, man. Lots to talk about this upcoming season, and certainly we'll cover some entertainment too.
And we'll be in the middle of training camp next week, so I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about. Man. Oh yeah, lots of news. So,
well, I want to thank you guys for watching the Puck and Pod one more time. We'll be back for another episode next week. Make sure you guys like and subscribe on our YouTube channel, or check us out on Rogers TV as always as well. Thank you again for watching. Once again, for the Puck and Pod, my name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
We'll see you guys in the next one.